We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. Here's your host, Todd McKim.
Hi, everybody. Todd McKim. Welcome to another edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. A lot to talk about this week. Next segment, we'll talk women's hoops with Mackenzie Forbes as they host Arizona State Friday and Arizona Sunday afternoon. And then the final segment, believe it or not, spring football is right around the corner. Monday, the Bears get at it, and we'll talk to one of the outstanding cornerbacks in the Pac-12 conference, Cam Bynum. But we'll start with men's basketball on the road this week to face the Arizona schools. The Wildcats in Tucson on Thursday night, and then Sunday evening, late afternoon actually, it'll be Arizona State down in Tempe. And joining me now is freshman Matt Bradley, young man who's had a good, solid freshman year for the Bears. Double figures more than half the games, and still, as we record this, the leading three-point shooter in the Pac-12 conference at almost 46%. Matt, thanks for taking the time and being with us. Let's just talk about the fact you're leading the league in the three-pointer. Is that something that you had any idea you might be able to do your first year?
No idea, actually. Coming into the season, I was kind of worried about my three-point shooting, and I didn't think I was going to, you know, be really solid in that area of basketball. So I thought mainly I was going to be able to just get to the rim, which wasn't – that actually hasn't happened as easily as I thought. But shooting has been really good for me as well, and I'm really proud to hang my hat on that.
So. Well, you have, and you've played hard, and you're fun to watch because you've got an aggressive mentality. When we watch you on the court, both offensively and defensively, you kind of get at it. You get after guys. You're not afraid of that. Is that something that's always been part of your DNA?
Yeah, no matter, you know, what I did, what I played, I was always competitive and I always tried to win. And, yeah, so, you know, no matter what, offensively, defensively, I'm just going to go at it and, you know, try my hardest.
You talked moments ago about getting all the way to the rim. You were at Wasatch Academy. You played a pretty good schedule. You've played the AAU circuit. You've seen big guys before. But in this league, I mean, every night there seems to be a 6'11", 7-footer sitting in the lane. It makes it tough. How have you tried to adjust to that?
I know every time a big man steps up, watching film with coaches and stuff, that I got to throw the pass to the other big, Connor, Andre, Grant, throw a lob or either a bounce to him for the dunk, and just maybe pulling the mid-range right in front of him seemed to work. Right now I'm just learning and watching film and, you know, just going, getting my shot blocked a couple times helped me learn that. So, yeah.
Everybody gets their shot blocked. That's for sure. And the freshman year is always tough. And it's tough at the defensive end, too, because I don't know what defense was like at Wasatch or when you were in San Bernardino. But at this level, every possession is really important. And whether you're playing man or zone, you got to know what you're doing. You got to know what everybody else is doing, too. Tell me about the defensive adjustment that you have to make.
Yeah, make sure I'm locked in defensively every play. And, it's kind of hard. Like, you'll have a good possession, all of a sudden there's a loose ball and they get it back and the shot clock restarts and you got, lock down and, play defense all over again. So, I always been the dude just, go score, I play defense here and there, but now I know, defensively is the main thing I need to focus on, especially in trying to win games as a team and just personally.
The Bears have played a lot of zone, certainly recently, and you've been in multiple spots. Sometimes you're at the top, where guards usually are, and oftentimes you're down on that baseline at 6'4", where ball goes to one wing, and maybe you got to defend the 7-footer on the boards on the other end. What's that challenge been like?
I really enjoy that, actually. I like going down there banging, I'm right at the ribs, so I'm hitting all the ribs with my elbows, and, I really enjoy it. I kind of like that more than being at the top, either or, I just like to defend right now, and I actually take pride in it, and I'm trying to, just keep getting better.
Yeah. Let's go back to your high school days. You went from San Bernardino and then spent your final year at Wasatch Academy. Mm-hmm. When you were at San Bernardino, you scored 72 points in a game. Come on. What is it like to score 72 points in a 32-minute game?
I had in my head right before the game, our high school record was 55, and I knew who we were playing against. So I was like, okay, I want to break the record. My team was down for it. My coach was giving me the green light to do it. But then, 55 turned into 72, and yeah, it was crazy, I got a lot of backlash, but I also got a lot of love from it, and I'm just glad I can say I did that.
How much energy does it take to score 72? Because that's more than 2 points a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it takes a lot of energy. I didn't come out the first half. I came out the last 5 minutes of the game because the game was over. We won. But and I only made 2 3-pointers that game. Everything was to the rim or free throw line. So, yeah, no, it definitely took a lot of energy. And after the game, I probably just went straight to sleep and, yeah.
We had 15 rebounds in that one, too, so it was more than just shooting the basketball. You were all over the court in that one. Tough to score 72 in a college game, I do know that. It's actually tough to score 72 in an NBA game. There aren't many guys that have done that. Kobe and, of course, Wilt had 100. I think Lisa Leslie, when she played at USC, scored Cheryl Miller.
Okay.
Scored 102 or 103. So it takes teammates to help you out as well. Yeah. Let's talk about the 1 year at Wasatch Academy. Why the move from San Bernardino then to Wasatch Academy, which is in southern Utah?
So the last week of my junior year in high school in San Bernardino, I committed to Cal. And, just talking to my parents, we didn't think that being there was going to be the best thing for me, especially transitioning to a school like this academically and athletically. So, we prayed about it. Next thing you knew, we got a phone call from Coach Curtis Condi. And it was just a blessing. He called us, told us that he was willing to let me come over there and play, and that's what we decided to do. And I'm really glad. And I think it's helped me transition here. So
you go from the Valley in LA with 15 million people to Wasatch Academy and the snow and the cold in the wintertime.
Yeah. There's only, my coach used to say a joke, there's only traffic on a red light in Mount Pleasant, Utah. And that was true, and it was a really good experience. If you think about it, it's I don't know how to say it, a universal school. So there's people mm-hmm. from all over. So there's a lot of, diversity there, mm-hmm. but not many people. But I really enjoyed it, though.
What kind of team did you have?
Oh, our team is really good. We had pretty much everybody on the roster is going to go eventually play college basketball. My roommate was Brian Penn Johnson. He's at Washington. Our guard, he's at UC Davis. Overall, there's a lot of good guys, and it was a really good experience to play with a bunch of dudes that I knew. At San Bernardino, I had to do everything, rebound, shoot, being point guard, center, and I had my particular position there, and it really got me ready for here. So glad I went through that process.
What kind of a schedule did you play?
We're at the airport every other week, the 2-hour drive to Salt Lake. And we played against some really good teams. You know, we played against some really good players that I knew I was going to see at the next level. And we're definitely playing the best of the best. We ended up not making Geico's Nationals, which kind of hurt, but overall we lost two games and it was a really good season. So.
You became kind of a legend on the AAU circuit too. And again, your toughness showed up and certainly the videos that I've seen. From a player standpoint, tell us what AAU basketball is all about.
Me personally, you know, I think AAU is all about just getting your name out there, like trying to prove something to other people, especially like college coaches, that you're able to play at the next level. And definitely like getting some notoriety from the people around you and kind of just, yeah, like I said, put a name out there for yourself. And it's really fun. So
certainly in your case, you're at San Bernardino, the competition level wasn't as good. So you made your name again on the AAU circuit because you commit before your final season at Wasatch, right? So a lot of people don't understand from a player standpoint what the AAU circuit does, because you're playing really good players every weekend, right?
Yeah, the thing is, it's not as organized as a high school basketball. You obviously don't come down, you know, probably nobody's playing a zone, probably don't have set plays and stuff, but the team chemistry is obviously there. Like, you're playing with a bunch of dudes that are wanting to win. Obviously, you know, they would say the main objective is trying to get an offer to go to college. But at the end of the day, yeah, no, it's really competitive and it's really fun and it's a really good experience, and I'm glad I did it.
Any tournament or any game that stands out for you on that AAU circuit?
Yeah, a couple. Probably I played in the little Adidas circuit, so always playing against Compton Magic, 15 years old, all the way up to my junior year. That was always competitive. Basketball University from Texas, they had Quentin Grimes. That was a good game. And also with AAU, it brought along a lot of camps. So I went to the National Basketball Players Association camp, top 100, and a couple other things. And, yeah, a lot of good experiences.
Get a chance to play against the guys from Duke? They're playing on the Duke squad, Zion and those guys?
Yeah, I played Zion in Adidas Nations camp. And this is when he wasn't too known. It was probably like sophomore year, you know. He was obviously flying out the gym and stuff. But, you know, like seeing him now is just like you could tell like he was going to turn into that type of monster. But RJ Barrett, I had a chance to play against him at Wasatch Academy. But we ended up not making it that far. And then, yeah. But Zion, yep.
Yeah, you watch those guys now, and then I mean, Zion's like a freak. One of the coaches I saw yesterday said he'd never seen anybody like him, quite like him, at that level. And of course, LeBron didn't play in college basketball, and Kobe didn't play in college, or Moses Malone, those guys. But having gone against those guys, now watching them on TV, I mean, you got to have some interesting memories.
Yeah, definitely. I just remember like coming down like right now, you know, there's 7-footers there waiting for you in the paint, but this guy like being 6'5", 6'6", or whatever, like flying out the gym, head at the rim, throwing your stuff out of bounds and not even talking, just smiling, and it was like, wow, like that is ridiculous. And yeah, no, definitely it was a good experience playing against him.
I bet it was. And again, at the AAU level, you probably see a lot of spectacular plays because it's a little more open-ended. Let's talk about going this weekend down to the Arizona schools. You have a tremendous atmosphere down in Tucson. In fact, both places, because the folks down in Tempe have jumped on board the Bobby Hurley train as well. What's going to take to get this thing turned around and get a win here soon?
Just buying into what the coaches are doing. I think, you know, taking pressure off ourselves. Like right now, we just got to understand we have nothing to lose. Like, we just need to come in there with reckless abandons and just try to, you know, do everything we can to win. And I think once we do that and we just get comfortable with each other on the court and with our coaches and we all just buy in, I think we're going to get a win.
Yeah, let's hopefully get it done this week. All right, let's talk about a second semester as a student here at Cal. This is a difficult academic school. Tell us about the courses that you're taking this term.
The courses I'm taking right now are really interesting, you know. Me coming from San Bernardino, you know, obviously, I don't know if many people know, is a poverty-stricken area. And right now I'm learning about, you know, in my sociology class about mass incarceration and just the, you know, things surrounding that, and just kind of just involves the people, you know, where I'm from. And it's just really interesting to learn about. And then Caribbean societies and which is really interesting. And then also the Harlem Renaissance. So, you know, very rooted back to, you know, where I'm from or whatever. And it's really interesting. I'm glad I'm taking those courses right now.
Yeah, good stuff. There's such a great academic culture and environment here. I'm glad you're enjoying your classes. All right, Matt, get it done this week. Knock down a bunch of three-pointers, and let's get that first conference win.
Yep, thank you.
All right, Matt Bradley, freshman from San Bernardino, as the Bears take on the Wildcats on Thursday and the Sun Devils on Sunday. Joining me now on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, Mackenzie Forbes from Folsom High School, not too far from Berkeley, about 90 minutes or so over by Sacramento. A freshman who's getting some run this year, averaging about six a game in conference game. And the Bears this week, a huge weekend at home with the Arizona schools, Arizona State Friday night, and then the Wildcats on Sunday afternoon, and a critical weekend, quite frankly, for all three teams involved, because those three teams are battling for jockeying for position in the conference. Arizona State's ranked, and the Bears trying to move up in the conference standings as well. Joining me now, Mackenzie Forbes. And first of all, let's just talk about, you know, as a freshman, not all freshmen get to play a lot. Just your thoughts about your first year, how it's gone for you.
Yeah, I think definitely Coach G has had a lot of trust in me, giving me good minutes for a freshman. I would consider good minutes. So, yeah, I just try to do whatever she needs me to do, whether that's moving the ball, scoring. You know, it's different things all the time. So I think I've been grateful, really grateful for that, to just even have an opportunity. I think knowing the team before coming in has helped me. Just being comfortable with them, to me, has a huge part of my transition here. So I think it's gone pretty smooth.
What's been the biggest transition, academically, socially, or basketball?
I would probably say basketball-wise. The game's just much faster pace than high school, obviously. Myself and Coach Farrow, actually, on the plane ride back, we're just talking about, like, adjusting defensively. In high school, like, defense is, like, what kind of whatever. Like, you know, you're tall enough, you're long enough to kind of get away with a lot of things that your athletic ability will make up for. Well, here, it's next level. So if you're a foot away from help side, it's not help side enough. So just little things like that, definitely, I think I've had to adjust to. I think I've gotten better at it week by week. I think my coaches do a great job of, you know, it's nitpicky at sometimes, but, like, I think, you know, obviously they have my best interest at heart, so I'm just grateful for that. Just trying to get better with it week by week, so yeah.
And that's coming from a McDonald's All-American, ladies and gentlemen. A young gal that was at the Pinnacle High School basketball a year ago, played in the McDonald's All-American game, was the three-point champ. So I guess if you're the three-point champ at the McDonald's All-American game, that's your specialty?
Yeah, a lot of people know me for my shooting ability. It's something I take a lot of pride in, because I wasn't born a shooter. My sophomore year in high school, I shot like 25% from three. It just made me so angry that teams would back off. I was like, I can't go another game shooting like this. So, yeah, I take a lot of pride in my shooting ability, for sure.
What was it like to, you know, mix it up? There's the AAU circuit and all that stuff, but that's like the pinnacle at the end of your senior year, to get a chance to play with the best players in the country, some of which are going to be your future opponents going on to the next level as well. What was that stage like for you? Give us an example of maybe some things that you look around and say, wow, I'm really here.
Yeah, very surreal experience for me. And as you know, that the boys are on the other side of it. So it's like, you know, those kids are 1 year and done. Like, those are going to be the next one, two, three draft picks. It's like winning the three-point contest, sitting next to Zion, who won the dunk contest, sitting next to Cam, who won the three-point contest for the boys. So it's like that's the best of the best on both sides. And then on the girls' side, you got Olivia Nelson dunking the ball, and it's just so much great talent in one place. It was just super surreal, super fun experience. I'll never forget it.
How'd you keep your composure for the three-point contest?
I was actually very nervous. I'm pretty good at hiding it on my face that I'm not nervous, but I was for sure had the jitters sitting there on that bench waiting. The two girls who went prior to me, I was actually the last one, so I had to wait the longest. So as I watched them shoot, I was like, okay, like, I'm fine. Like, I can do this. So, and then I got out there and I hit my first two. So after that, I was like, I'm cool. So I think just hitting the first two off the bat, like, really propelled me, my confidence for the rest of the racks. So that was good.
Yeah, when you go last, it can be good or bad. I mean, if you see they're they're not shooting well, you're thinking, well, I don't have to do all that well. I'm going to win this dang thing. Yet if they're stroking it, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, I got to make them all. So you get it's kind of both ways, and you ended up winning that thing. That was awesome. Talk about, you know, your brother plays at Harvard. So I guess it was no irony that you had your best game this year against Harvard, 6 of 8 from downtown, of 22 points, I believe it was. I mean, was there a little extra motivation in that game for you?
Yeah, that was for sure special. I try to go into every game with the same mentality. I want to kill the opponent regardless, whether it's Harvard or it's UCLA or Stanford, you know, so I'm a very competitive person. But there was for sure a little bit of joking, like, beforehand, leading up to season, and them coming out here. And he's actually friends with a few of the girls on the team, so he for sure said they came back and were talking about it. Couldn't get the win, unfortunately, but, yeah, credits to them. They're a great team, so.
Now, your brother's he's not getting as much run as you are. He's been in a few games, 10, 12, 13 games. They're in second place in the Ivy League. They're only a game back, though, of all teams, Yale. That's the team the men started with to start this season. They're one game ahead in the loss column, so they're having a really good season, 13-8 overall. Now, he ends up going to Harvard, and you come to Cal. I mean, opposite ends of the country, but two fantastic schools. Tell us about how important academics were when you were growing up.
For sure, yeah. I think there's no coincidence that we end up at Harvard and Cal. I think credit to my oldest brother. He paved the way. He actually did undergrad at Occidental College in Pasadena and is at Harvard grad school currently. So, I mean, our parents have never really, like pushed that on us. It was always just a standard to me growing up. I knew that it was A's and B's, you know. So I just think my parents definitely deserve credit for that. My oldest brother, who paved the way for us, just setting the example. So that's all I ever really knew was that school was important. Came before basketball always. My dad never was pushing us to go into the gym, and we always had our homework done before anything else. So,
which is interesting because people that don't know, your dad played for the Harlem Globetrotters, Sterling Smooth. I love the nickname Forbes. So growing up, I mean, how much were you guys involved in that Globetrotter scene?
So he actually played from 85 to 95 when my oldest was born. He retired, but he was still doing PR things, would travel with them. Yeah. I remember him being in India, all over the place. Like, there was one point where he had like a 3-month stretch. And so it was just us and my mom and my grandma and my aunt, who are also local. So it was like, he was gone for so long, my mom was like, yep, that's it, you're done. Like, these kids are too young, there's four of us. So, but yeah, I mean, he still runs basketball camps to this day, and I grew up playing in those with my brothers. When I got to a point where I could be a counselor, I was doing that in high school, so super big influence on my perspective of basketball. I think for the biggest thing he always taught us is that basketball brings people together. Wherever you are in the world, they might not speak English, but they know what it means when a ball goes in the hoop, so... super grateful for that because I think he definitely had a lot to do from my perspective.
So what was his role with the Globetrotters? I mean, some guys are the finishers, some guys they throw the water into the crowd or the confetti into the crowd. What was his role?
He was a dunker.
Okay.
So yeah, he's super athletic. I don't know if you've ever seen Mason play, but I think Mason definitely has a lot of that in his game. So he was a dunker. Yeah, you got to finish the dunks or you get fined. So
is that what it
is? Yeah.
So what did he teach you? I mean, he had to teach you a few tricks too, though, right? I mean, unfortunately, this is an audio program and not a video program, so we can't show what maybe he taught you, but what are some of the things that he taught you?
Spinning the ball was first and foremost. That one actually took me the longest to learn. It took me like probably a year to get it really good, but I just became obsessed with it because one of my older brothers, Max, actually, he was the best spinner, and it just pissed me off that like he could do it and I couldn't, so I became really obsessed with that.
What's the key to spinning the thing?
You got to get a good initial spin. Okay. A lot of people kind of get scared and, oh, don't go too high, it's too fast. But yeah, just the initial spin is what really keeps it going. Because it goes fast enough, then it'll stay on balance, really is the trick. But yeah, body roll, leg catch, all the dribbling, all the passes around the back, off the head. We for sure grew up having learned those.
Very few of which you could probably use in a basketball game today, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think I might get pulled trying to use a couple of those tricks.
I came close to taking a job with the Globetrotters as an announcer right out of college. They were paying a whopping $400 a month. Now, back then, that was a decent coin, but you got a chance to see the world. I came close to taking that job as opposed to getting into teaching and then broadcast. It would have been fantastic. I would have loved to have been involved with that. Yeah, travel the world with the Globetrotters, the winningest team in the history of basketball. No question about that, right? Now, your brother, as you mentioned, went to Harvard, and I guess, does he still have the big hair? I mean, yes. The afro, because I understand that was actually one of the selling points for Harvard, is they were going to let him keep that, right?
He does still have the fro. And it's funny because, you know, like coming into the AAU circuit or the recruiting process, like his AAU coaches were actually like kind of like, oh, we might want you to cut that. Just, you know, some people aren't like for the look. Yeah. They might say, you know, it's not clean cut, this and that. He was like, I'm not cutting my hair. So and the Harvard coaches loved it. I think it works out as a positive for him. If anything, it draws attention to you. So whether that's good or bad. But yeah, I don't know when he's going to cut the fro, but it's definitely his trademark.
Well, if he ever goes to law school or business school, I imagine that might be the line in which that'll be the demarcation line. And it was fine when you're an undergrad, but yeah, maybe not as a graduate. That's he and you know, Tommy Amaker, obviously a great coach, doing a great job at Harvard. All right, let's talk about these two games coming up. Arizona State on Friday, Arizona on Sunday. You know, the first time around, those were two games that were there, that and it was earlier in the conference season. And it's kind of been emblematic, I guess, a little bit of what's happened to the team. You've been in virtually every game. It's a matter of finding a way to close the door on these. So how important are these two games?
I mean, they're vital at this point. Like Coach G says, like our lives are on the line. Our basketball lives are on the line. So we're just so locked in. And like you said, it's a one or two possession thing every time because this conference is so good. There's such little room for error that one mistake might be the difference between a win and a loss. So we're just so locked in on getting every detail right. I think everyone's all in as far from a player's standpoint. I think the energy is still great coming off, you know, sometimes coming off weekends of losses, people might come in with their heads down. But I think we've just been so great with having positive energy, talking each other up, just everything we can do to be behind G and try to get two wins this weekend.
Well, we look forward to it. Friday night and Sunday afternoon, the Bears against the Sun Devils and the Wildcats. I know you got to run to class. We appreciate you taking the time between class and practice, and good luck this week.
For sure. Thank you.
Mackenzie Forbes, a freshman on the Cal basketball team, two big ones this week against the Arizona schools. Joining me now on Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, is Cam Bynum, back for another season with the Bears after redshirting. So he's a redshirt junior coming into this spring, and spring ball starts on Monday. You jacked for that?
Yep, I can't wait for it. I feel like we've been away from football forever.
Yeah. You still have any hangover from the bowl game?
Yeah, I'm just trying to get back to it and get back to ball already.
Yeah. Bears with the four picks in that game, and just by one, finished second in the country behind Utah State in total interceptions with over 20. Utah State also had four in their bowl game, too, or maybe the Bears would be number one in the country. In fact, they had four against North Texas State, which will be one of the opponents for the Bears this year. So a little full circle we go with the interceptions. Talk about the ball hawking last year. I mean, you guys seemingly every game were jumping on one or two, five for touchdowns as well. Tell us about that ball hawking crew.
We're really experienced just knowing football and knowing route concepts now. So we've been coached really well to be able to expect some concepts. So that's probably the biggest thing and why we were able to get the ball so much, because we expect what's coming.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to expect or did expect a lot last year, we can expect even more this year because you've got the entire secondary back this year, all five spots. Yeah. That includes the nickelback position as well. I mean, how good can the secondary be?
Oh, it can be a lot better. We left a lot on the table last year in terms of just dropping interceptions or missed assignments. So coming back this year, we know what we messed up on, so we're going to be a lot better this coming season.
Yeah, as a group now, what do you work on in the spring? Is it refining the concepts? I mean, because you've had a couple of years with GA, Gerald Alexander is your coach. What's spring ball all about?
Spring ball is all about developing ourselves now individually, because we know the defense front and back. So now we're just trying to get better as individuals and get bigger, faster, stronger at, individually. And then that'll just be able to help us all come back together to come game time to be able to play a lot harder.
Spring ball earlier than it's been in years past here at Cal, and you'll be able to get it all in before the spring break. It won't be separated like we've had the last couple of years where you have 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it is, and then you kind of finish up. Do you like it with the current schedule?
Oh, yeah, I love the schedule we have this year because we can just knock the whole spring ball out now, and So we're not there's no distractions in the middle of spring ball, so we can get straight through it, be focused the entire time. Then we can go off for spring break and people do whatever. So there's no distractions in between that just separate us from football.
Talking with Cam Bynum, a redshirt junior from Centennial High School down in Corona, a football factory down there that produced a lot of really good football players over the year, and Cam is one of those. Talk about your high school days and how good that football program was and is, played for a couple of state championships too.
Yeah, I loved the high school I went to at Corona Centennial under Coach Logan. He bred us to be dogs. He taught us mentality of football players and just being able to work hard. And I think we put in more work than any other schools out there with watching film every lunch. We didn't get lunch or anything. So we were in the film room every single day of the week, year round, and then doing speed training during lunch on the tennis courts, just trying to find whatever work we can get. So that kind of embedded the hard work mentality in me.
Also, you've been coached as far as the training is concerned by your dad as well, helped you out a lot. Tell us how that relationship went and tell us what some of those workouts were like.
Just ever since I was growing up as a kid, dad's always loved to work the kids out. So so he loved taking me to the park and doing DV drills he found on YouTube and just doing whatever. This as a kid in elementary school, running hills, just doing whatever he can to get me better. So that's what started the love for extra work I got. So I've been carrying that through my whole life and whole career, and will continue to do that just because that's what I grew up on.
You mentioned DB drills. Was it always embedded in your mind you were going to be a DB as opposed to maybe a wide receiver?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've been playing corner my entire life, and I like defense way more than I ever did offense, and I was a lot better at that ever. So we stuck to one thing and tried to get good at one thing.
It's not a bad idea. What is it about playing corner that you like the most?
I think it's the hardest position on the field, that and quarterback. So I take pride in just it being the toughest thing out there. So if you do that well, you know you're one of the best players on the field at that time. So I take pride in that. Then I also just love being able to just stop people from scoring.
All right, not that I'm a great example. Let's just say I was a wide receiver and you got me man coverage and you got press coverage. What are the things, what are the keys that you're looking for?
First, I'm going to keep disciplined eyes and knowing where to look and not to look back at the quarterback and get too greedy with my eyes trying to look back and find the ball. So my eyes will be on your hips. My feet will be moving the entire time. I'll keep the same foot rhythm as you're trying to shake me, keeping my eyes down on the hips. So if my eyes come up, I'm going to get juked out. So just keep disciplined eyes and good feet and try not to be too physical, but be physical enough to be able to knock the timing off.
Yeah, and talking to Coach Wilcox about you, he said the one characteristic that he admires the most is patience. You see a lot of guys jump or they get nervous or, you know, a guy's going to get behind me. How do you maintain that patience as a corner?
Basically doing extra work, knowing that my footwork is I can be patient enough and still win at the line. If you're going fast, I can slow it down and be patient and be able to win the rep just off of me expecting what you're going to give me and seeing where you're taking me, because receivers are taught to react off of my move. So if I give nothing to react off of, then I win the rep.
Well, last year, North Carolina, they went after you a little bit because they had a really good wide receiver, and you for the most part, won that battle. That's the beauty about football is, you know, you hope to win most of the battles. You seldom win them all, and they always say that cornerbacks have to have a very short memory. How can you do that if a guy beats you, let's say beats you for an 18-yard out? I mean, how do you forget that and move on to the next play?
You just got to play by play and not get hung up off of one play, because that's football. Everything's going to happen. You're going to give up plays. You're going to make plays. So you just have to try and make the next play your best play. And if you give something up, make a play the next play to cover it up.
Let's talk about wearing number 24. I guess Kobe Bryant was your model growing up. He was more noted for his offense than his defense, but he was an excellent defensive player too. What was it about Kobe that you liked? Or did everybody in L.A. that was not a Clippers fan love Kobe?
I for sure grew up a Laker fan no matter what, but looking at him as an athlete, his mentality, his call it the Mamba mentality, he's a killer mentality on the field and even off the court. He's hardest worker you'll ever hear about. So that's what I modeled my game after always, just knowing that you always have to put in the extra work to be the best.
You know, what's been interesting with Kobe, and you knew he was a smart player, he's got or had a segment on ESPN where he breaks down other guys. Mm-hmm. And to hear him talk about the intricacies of the game just showed how smart he was, how much film he watched. How much film and how important is the film work for you?
Oh, that's more important than anything you can do on the field, because if you don't know what you're doing in the film room, you can't go carry it out to the field, because you can have all the athletic ability you want, but if you don't know the scheme, if you don't know how they're going to attack you, you won't do well at all.
Yeah. All right. Late in the season, there was a text out by your dad saying, Cam, just a couple more weeks before you can declare to the NFL. Did you look at the possibility of going to the NFL? And if you did, what kind of the things that you were looking at in the thought process that went into that decision to come back?
I for sure looked into it, just because it's been a dream of mine all my life. And I was at a position where I was eligible for it. So we were just talking about that, as in if you work hard now, you can possibly declare. But if we weren't really worried about the if I go or not, because I'm fine here. I'm just working every day. So I was happy to be able to come back another season after last season and do even better and try to help my team win more.
Well, we're glad you're back, that's for sure. All right, spring ball, as we mentioned, begins on Monday. The battle on the other side of the line of scrimmage is at the quarterback position. And you're going to, in practice now, go against a guy that you went against as a player a couple of years ago. He played for UCLA, Devin Modster. Give us the scouting report on Devin and how he can help the Bears this year.
Devon, he's a really good quarterback. From when I went against him, my redshirt freshman year. So I know he has a really strong arm, really good arm, really accurate. And I've known him since high school, a mutual friend. I didn't know him personally, but I've always known he was a good quarterback because all my friends would talk about him, and I just see him on the 7-on-7 circuit. And he's a really good quarterback from what I've seen so far.
Yeah, and that game, the UCLA game, he had a really good second half. UCLA was able to prevent the Bears from going to a bowl game. In that game, as you look back, I mean, you were prepared for Josh Rosen, because he was the guy that was the starting quarterback, and you knocked him out, and here comes this monster guy kind of out of nowhere and played really well in that second half. So hopefully he can continue that with the Bears. I mean, as you get a chance now to face him in practice, maybe you get a chance to snag a few in the spring here to kind of get turnaround fair play, huh?
Oh, yeah, I hope so. I got to get my payback, because he completed some long balls on me that day. So I for sure got to get him back and try and pick a couple off every day.
I'm sure you'll give it the best effort. And, of course, the Bears starting spring ball on Monday, go a couple of weeks, and then wrap things up before the end of kind of the mini term before spring break. And then after that, a longer than normal kind of strength and conditioning period, which I think will probably help a lot of the guys that maybe have some injuries. You get more continuity in that second half of the off season, don't you?
Yeah, I like the extended time we get for training, just because we'll be able to go into fall camp with just a lot more weeks just added on to lifting and running, and so we'll be a lot faster, a lot stronger, and you get a lot more time from the possible injuries people will get from spring ball to heal up before fall camp.
All right, then we get into the season, UC Davis, and then an early conference game against Washington up at UW. They're breaking in a new quarterback. Jake Browning is gone, so that'll be an interesting game. And then also a rare trip to SEC country. A couple of years ago, we had Ole Miss here, handled them pretty good. You guys, as a DB group, did a phenomenal job against their quarterback, Shea Patterson, and their big, big, fast wide receivers. How excited are you at getting a chance to play in SEC country?
Oh, I love the possibility of going out there and beating an SEC team, just because they're seen as the best conference in football by just the common opinion. So I'm excited to be able to go out there and play football and see what their town is like.
Well, they have great pregame atmosphere in Oxford, Mississippi, and we're looking forward to that end of the game as well. And ironically, the two coordinators at Mississippi are both former head coaches in the Pac-12 conference. You got Coach Mack, who was at Colorado, and you have Rich Rod, that was at Arizona. So it'll be an interesting dynamic when the Bears head back there. Cam, we appreciate you stopping by. Best of luck in the spring ball. Get a couple of those picks that we're talking about, and have a great offseason as well.
Yep, thank you. Appreciate it for having me.
You bet. Cam Bynum, redshirt junior cornerback, one of the best in the country for the Bears in a secondary that is loaded this year. That wraps it up for this week's edition of Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics. We appreciate you joining us, and as always, go Bears!
This has been Bear in Mind, the official podcast of Cal Athletics, with your host, Todd McKim. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.